Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
You're tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Hello, hello, friends. Welcome to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm Matthew Ramsey, Wiley Coyote, Cheeseburger Life Coach, and Ice Cream Pirate on a moped now.
Oh, jeez. I got to ride a little bit on that moped.
You're the first person to hop on the back of that thing.
Yeah, I was clutching for my dear life. I'm Eddie.
At 5 miles per hour.
Adams Morgan is a dangerous neighborhood.
It is.
I'm Eddie Kim, proud DCist, highball harbinger, and devil in blue suede shoes. Every week, we share a shift drink, and I'm wearing boots. Yeah. We share a shift drink and swap war stories from behind a line with chefs, bartenders, bakers, brewers, and pretty much anyone who touches this all-encompassing industry. This week, we are joined by Los Angelinos, Brooke Williamson, and Antonio Lofaso. Hi. They're chefs and restaurateurs of spots all across the LA region. For Brooke, you have Playa Provisions, Hudson House, The Triple, Da Kiko Kiko.
Good job.
Three times. And many others. Well, Antonia, yes. You have Black Market, Scopa Italian Roots, and I think just recently opened Dama.
Congratulations. That's
thank
awesome.
You. Yeah.
She's also the author of The Busy Mom's Cookbook.
Yeah, to bring it up.
And she's a grown ass.
I feel like now you need to come back with an even busier mom cookbook.
She's in college. It's like, oh, and when they're gone, what do you do?
Yeah. The emptiness cookbook. And she's a grown ass woman on the Grown Ass Women Coffee Club podcast.
Look for it, Brooke.
And lastly, they're both alumna of a little TV show called Best Cook.
Yes, best cook. Best cook. In another language, that's what it was called.
Was it?
Top Chef. Okay. Did you not pay for the rights? Is that what you said?
TM.
The Big Game Cooking Show.
Well, welcome. Thank you for taking a little time out of your day. You're about to hop on a plane back to LA for both of you.
Yes.
Last night was the Dine and Dash charity fundraiser.
How was it?
So much fun.
You guys, so it sounded like you guys people. Were kind of gallivanting around town, just eating.
Yeah, so Dine and Dash is Jose Andres' World Central Kitchen, which is the foundation that basically comes into different areas all over the United States and the world, really, whenever there's a situation in need of someone to kind of cook and help people who are, whether it's like a hurricane or fires or, you know, just in need of some sort of social togetherness.
Yeah, Jose did some great work. Not too long ago during the government shutdown.
Yes.
So
That's where I actually partnered with them for the first
time.
Is
that okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
You we were providing meals to government employees during the shutdown. And they reached out and said, hey, can we partner with you and list you on our website? And
And Jose's, I think, like up for a Nobel Peace Prize, like no
something,
NBD.
Something trivial.
NBD
like
on Wednesday.
Something
I think,
trivial.
Yeah, next Wednesday, then we find out if he wins like the biggest humanitarian award in the world. But we'll just have a drink and talk about it.
We'll just have a drink and talk about Top Chef.
Now, was D.C., was this your first time in D.C.?
This is my very first time in D.C.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No. I thought they made a joke yesterday about you being on like an eighth grade school trip.
Oh, no. Somebody said you never came here on an eighth grade school trip. And actually, when I was walking around giving myself the tour the other night, of all the sites, I did see 900 eighth grade school trips walking around.
That was definitely my first introduction to the DC scene way back when. Have you been here before?
I've been to DC a couple of times for work. I have friends that live here. I've been on the eighth grade tour.
Nice.
So I love that you toured yourself though, Brooke. That's like what makes me so happy.
I did. And you know what I got most excited about? was the Fireflies. I had never seen
a Firefly. Oh, that's an East Coast. That's an East Coast trip.
I like, have never seen one.
And especially right now, as the weather changes and it gets a little humid and it's lighter, dark, you know, lighter later.
Everywhere. A little humid.
Yeah. It was amazing.
That's super cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'd seen them on
The TV?
Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland, but they're not real.
Wait, what is, in your title, you said burger enthusiast? What did you say? Burger what?
Burger life coach.
Burger life coach. What does that mean? Yeah, can you tell me that?
So I wrote a cookbook called Porn Burger. In which I
made
a lot of weird burgers. So it's in my repertoire of things.
So you coach people through eating burgers?
I've been known to consult on burgers, eating and preparing.
He has many, many opinions.
Can I ask about burgers? Can I have an opinion? Can I ask a question? It's probably a loaded question.
It's 100% loaded question.
So a burger, ground beef, sure. Are you offended if someone orders it more than like medium rare? Does it bother you?
I think at the end of the day, I mean, whatever people want, it's what people want.
Matthew, you're a thin burger
Though. Like backyard burger.
I tend
double patty.
I tend to do the smash. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Mm-hmm. I'm of the same house. Don't make fun of people who want well done burgers.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want a well done burger, but I'm not mad at a medium burger.
You're sitting in front of someone who likes a well done burger. Yeah. No, this over
oh,
this way.
You like
this
well done burger.
This way.
Oh wow. I'm
that's what you were getting at. Sorry.
Like a hockey puck.
Take it easy.
Hey.
I didn't say hockey puck. Anyway, you said burger life coach and I needed some life coaching, so thank you.
Listen, whatever, however you like it is the way it should be.
Judgment.
Yeah, no judgment. This is judgment-free.
Brooke is for sure judging me.
Do you have an opinion on In-N-Out? I'm sure we talked about this several times.
I do prefer Shake Shack.
He's like, I do prefer not to talk about In-N-Out and people who live from the West Coast.
I do love In-N-Out.
I've never had an In-N-Out burger.
What?
I'm at the point where
they're everywhere now, aren't they?
Pretty much, they're in Texas.
Well,
they haven't come to the East Coast. They're not on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. I think Texas is far.
Five
as
Guys like, though is on in California now.
Yes.
I believe.
Yeah.
Yes. That's no one goes.
That's a local.
No one goes there.
Yeah. Oh.
No, it's not a thing.
You know, Five Guys is actually really big in London.
Really?
Yeah. They see that as the ultimate American burger now.
Interesting.
This is Shift Drink. Eddie Kim, what are we drinking here?
Well, I got the request for tequila. Mm. !!
Did I write three of them?
Two.
Of them.
When did you send that?
Let's hold off a little bit.
What time did I send that?
And I wasn't quite sure
no,
which
I'm
one
serious.
Of you requested
Can you
it.
See what time I sent
Oh, yeah.
Tequila! !! Arm emoji?
I don't know.
But there's always like a lot of like behind the scenes translation when something like that comes. We're like
100%.
Yeah, we're just like, is that a shot? Is that with soda? Is she
why are there exclamation points?
Is that a new cocktail with exclamation
the
points?
10 o'clock last
oh,
night.
Wow,
oh, there you go.
That was
sounds about right. Oh. That was us in the thick of things.
Yeah, no, I was checking the. Yeah.
You might have actually been having tacos at that point last night.
I might have been. I was.
You might have been drinking tequila at that point.
I might have just had my first tequila at that point when I got excited about it.
Yeah. Oh, so this is just a holdover from last night. Great.
No, it's a general
rule of thumb.
Enthusiasm for tequila.
Which, you know, I just actually realized someone told me this morning what the. I always say rule of thumb. Do you use that expression?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know where it came from? It's a unit of measure based on, I believe, an English law of men being able to beat their wives with
it.
Wow.
Did you know what I was about to say?
I forgot about this.
Nothing thicker
than their thumb. Oh. I don't know why I'm laughing about it. I think we all should just pay attention to the words we use.
I thought it was like a unit of measurement for like inches. Like, oh, that guy has a thumb.
It's the thumb in which you are able to beat your wife.
Holy fuck.
So there's that.
Wow.
Sorry. You guys invited me on the podcast, so there's
no, they didn't. Oh, Antonia. I invited you.
Okay, well, I won't talk for the rest of the time.
And for more of these tidbits, listen to our podcast. Grown-ass and disturbing factoids.
You knew it.
That is impressive.
Okay, yes, you jogged my memory.
This is a El Diablo?
El Diablo. El Diablo, a tequila drink. It's my favorite tequila drink, and I don't do margaritas necessarily, but whenever I have the chance. When it's 2 exclamation points after tequila.
Yeah.
It's very yummy. It's very yummy. What is it? Tonic and what's the juice?
Tequila, lemon juice, creme de cassis.
Creme de cassis.
And ginger beer.
I love a good creme de cassis.
I love a good ginger beer.
And you added, that's what I'm tasting, ginger beer.
Okay, yeah.
It wasn't tonic.
And you added cucumber, which I think actually adds a nice essence to
it. Thank you.
It does. It makes it feel cucumber okay to be drinking this at this hour. It's not even that early.
It's noon.
We are in a hotel.
It's like 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
You're fine.
For the record, this is our third time this week drinking at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's cool. We're just flying today.
I think it's now it's going to be celebratory mood.
Do you have a go-to cocktail beverages or alcoholic beverages that you guys drink on the plane? Because they're always limited, right?
Yeah, no, I'm a gin and tonic drinker. That's my go-to on a flight.
Antonia?
Honestly, it's just tequila all the time.
But there's always like Cuervo.
It is Cuervo, but yeah. I don't like, I just do a little bit of ice, lime, and just kind of shoot it back.
What if they don't have lime?
I've never been on a flight.
Really?
I mean,
I've asked for lime before.
Oh, you have?
The great lime shortage.
It's interesting. They don't serve tequila here. DC is not a big tequila drinking city.
We're working on that.
Yeah. Have you found that? Because this has been my entire conversation.
Well, I think mezcal is starting to take DC by storm, but there's not a.
Oh, there was mezcal.
Latin American and Mexican food is exploding here in the area, and with that, agave spirits.
But compared to LA, I'm guessing definitely not.
I think I just notice it more now. I mean, there's a ton of tequila bars, and there's a ton of, you know, I mean, and even in New York a little bit. I mean, but I just haven't seen as many in DC.
One of our longtime listeners, Bill Murray, his son owns a tequila bar, doesn't
That's
he?
That's right, yeah.
Where?
Bill Murray, like Groundhog Day?
Yes.
Oh.
Bill Murray likes tequila quite a bit.
He's been a guest a few times, at least in our mind.
Oh. I thought it was like that thing where Bill Murray just randomly shows up and does stuff, and you had that experience.
We always say he does. Actually, he did come into the hotel.
It's a thing.
Oh, yes, yeah. In the first opening months of the hotel, he showed up at the restaurant, A Rake's Progress, upstairs, and serenaded everyone.
Oh my God,
how sweet.
That's nice.
So, Bill
just
Murray.
Just bringing joy everywhere he goes.
That's awesome.
That's kind of his thing.
Has anything like that happened in any of your restaurants? Being in LA and you are surrounded by
weirdos?
Egos?
Oh. I thought you said weirdos.
Professional egos?
I've had a lot of weird things happen in my restaurant, but I will say that Bill Murray singing has never happened. Nothing like
yet.
That has ever happened. Yet, I mean, we can only hope.
Weird things in the restaurant? I mean, not stuff that I should talk about on air, especially after like the rule of thumb thing. Don't want to bring that up again. There was a whole, you know, there's a homeless situation in LA. That's all I got to say. Let your imagination go wild.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, we did ask you to prepare a little icebreaker game. We call it 2 Truths, 1 Lie.
Did you prepare?
I didn't really prepare, but I'm good at lying.
I feel like you're going to be good on the cuff on this
oh,
one.
Oh, good. Thanks.
2 Truths, 1 Lie.
Who's that guy?
That's a good question.
That was you?
Is it a soundbite? Oh.
No, it's just that guy who likes to...
We got cool sound effects here.
This is
A-plus production here. I'm guessing since you have nothing, maybe do you want to go first or do you want me to go second?
Do you want me to say the lie? Okay, so I'm saying 2 lies and a truth.
Two truths and 1 lie. And
shoot,
one lie.
I'm already
and
totally...
And so what, we have to guess which one the lie is?
We'll guess which one the
You're
lie is.
You're both parents. You're good at lying, so we should be good at this.
Wow.
Santa is real.
Eddie's letting all of his issues out right now.
This is therapy.
He's like, you guys are parents and you're liars, so that's right.
There's a couch right behind you. You're going to sit
down. I feel like you need the couch, sir.
Eddie, get on the couch.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
All right.
Brooke, go ahead.
Oh, I'm going first?
Let's have you go first.
Ugh, the pressure. Okay.
If I know the answer, can I just shout it out?
No. We could use all the help.
But yeah. Well,
right, you guys are guessing. I'm not playing. I just need all the rules to the game.
Okay, yes.
I mean,
okay.
It can be really simple, right?
It can be as simple or as complex as you want it to be.
And apparently we're now allowed to ask up.
There's no
follow-up questions.
Oh. The pressure of the game.
All right. I was captain of my high school tennis team. I had the chicken pox twice as a kid. And I'm allergic to cats.
Boo.
Was that boring? So I should have prepared more. I'm sorry. I was busy drinking last night.
I was tennis.
She is a leader. I'm just going to throw this out there. So, like, you hear the word captain, colonel, chef. They're all kind of synonymous with each other. Sorry.
I can't ask follow-up questions. I'm a tennis fan, so I can...
Yeah, no, really, I think the tennis thing is true.
You're the captain of your tennis team.
Why? Wait. Because it's a tennis thing, it's true. Why is that the case?
California is a hotbed of tennis activity.
Hotbed of tennis activity.
I didn't play tennis.
Eddie Kim is very into tennis, and he like knows all the grips. And we've played.
It's just Eastern and Western, no?
Oh, look at you're exposing yourself. You're exposing yourself.
Oh, great. Yes.
You're nice. Exposing.
Nice.
Brooke, I'm a semi-Western. Mm. That's my grip.
Halfway
and
in between.
He spits all this jargon out, and then he plays. And
just
and
because
then,
I played tennis doesn't mean that I was captain of my high school.
I'm gonna go with.
Okay. You're fighting it, which makes me think it's more true. I think allergy to cats. I think that's the lie.
I want that to be the lie.
Eddie is a human cat, and it's kind of annoying.
I'm just a fan of cats.
Oh,
I don't trust them.
Eddie, what do you think?
Wait, what happens?
Do you know this one, Anton?
I mean, I have a theory on it.
What's your theory?
A sound effect happens.
My theory is, and I'm not a doctor, but I think I'm a doctor. I don't think you can get the chicken pox twice. So there's that.
I've heard of rare instances, which would make it a good truth, but also... I'm going with cat.
Okay, fine. Let's go with cat.
Cat is the falsehood.
Oh, I'm deathly allergic to cats. Okay.
You were right.
Process of elimination.
What's the lie?
I've never had the chicken pox.
Me either. That's why we're friends.
Really? Did you get vaccinated?
No.
There's a vaccine now.
There's a vaccine, but some people are just really special people
my
in life.
My mom used
that
to like send me to people's
too.
Houses to sleep in their bed with them with the chicken pox, and I never got
nothing.
That.
Yeah.
But I have heard of people getting the chicken pox twice.
Twice. It's
that's like an urban legend.
No. I think...
That's
like,
called shingles. Okay? That is a disgusting adult disease called shingles. That's not called chicken pox.
Were you ever pocked
as
a kid?
I stumped them. Did you see that?
Yeah. Also, we have a very good, like, we don't win ever.
Yeah. I've never been pocked.
You've never been pocked? Am I the only person with chicken pox?
You're also young. How old are you? Sorry, I shouldn't ask you that, but how old are you?
He just turned, he just had his birthday.
I don't tell people that.
Well, May 21st.
You don't want to tell
people?
You just
had your birthday.
Yeah, it's true. Our birthdays are a day apart.
Yeah.
Like, same year?
We're children. He's a Taurus, but I'm a Gemini.
But same year?
No.
I just turned 40.
I am 35. Oh, 36. Oh, shit. I totally forgot my age. I'm 36.
Well, you look younger, but...
you don't look a day over 28.
That's an Asian thing, right? you look young till
I'm gonna
you're
ride
like
that train as far as it'll
and
go.
Then, really old all of a sudden.
And then, yeah, and then I'll fall off a cliff.
All right, Antonio. We're not doing good yet. Do you have some truths and lies you can preach to us?
Yes. Oh, I think I wrote them down.
Oh my God, you did prepare.
I was on the phone with someone this morning, and they were helping me prepare.
Oh my God.
Oh, okay. I am a big fan of medieval jousting.
Wow.
Are you going to say it all in that voice?
So possibly.
She's like nice and even keel.
I will have no inflection in my voice, so you will not be able to tell which one.
Chef's... sorry.
Lie.
Okay, I love skydiving. I'm a big fan of medieval jousting. And, hold on. I just wrote them down. This doesn't mean that it's a lie. Or the truth. Is that I have perfect eyesight.
Mm. Mm. Wow, I can't see from this far away.
Well, are you an ophthalmologist?
I've never seen you wear glasses. I don't think you wear contacts.
I do wear sunglasses. They can be prescribed.
But you're not wearing sunglasses.
Can you see
inside?
Does that include nighttime driving glasses?
I never put glasses on. I wear sunglasses.
Sunglasses.
Yeah. I thought we weren't allowed follow-up questions.
Oh. Sure. Eddie always breaks that rule.
I gotta know. People need to know.
I think the fact that you made it the last minds. Fact and acted like you were still thinking about it.
Is she allowed to choose?
Truth.
Is she allowed to pick?
Brooke, sorry. Brooke, would you like to play?
No.
Flag on the play.
We'll
put it in your court.
No.
Your tennis court.
I feel like jousting is pretty abstract.
I lob it over
FYI,
to
you. FYI, I was captain of the tennis team.
We forgot to celebrate that.
Bring that back around. Hello. Sorry. Not about me anymore. I have trouble with that sometimes.
Wait, it was jousting. What was the second one? Skydiving.
I love skydiving. I love medieval jousting.
Medieval jousting.
And I have perfect vision.
Is there medieval times out there? I'm sure there is.
Oh.
There's got to be.
Yeah. I've been,
You won't crack this. She's like staring at me from the side, trying to look in my ear. Can't get in my brain from my ear. Brooke.
Skydiving is like one of those things that could easily be like, oh, I'm scared of heights.
I think the fact that she said that means that she has or hasn't skydived. It's just a matter of whether or not she liked it.
I think
we need to have you on every show to just kind of play this voice.
Process of elimination.
No, it's deeper than usual. I bet you're deathly afraid of heights.
I don't know.
I feel like a fear of heights and jousting usually go side by side.
Fear of heights and jousting?
And a love for jousting, yeah. Those are like compatible.
One's a land sport, one's an air sport.
Exactly.
Medieval jousting. Who comes up with that? Oh, you know what? That could be something she absolutely hates, because that's possible.
Wow.
All right, we got it.
I'm going to say that's true.
You're not allowed to answer.
I'm
not allowed to.
Jousting, skydiving, eyesight.
There's only really three options.
She has great eyesight. Let's just get that.
How do you know?
Skydiving.
You think skydiving is my lie?
You do not like skydiving.
Very good.
I knew it.
I am deathly scared of heights. And I truly believe that no one should ever jump out of a perfectly good plane.
But have you?
No, and never will.
Okay.
Can we talk about your love for jousting, though?
Yes, sure.
How deep does this go?
How deep is your love?
You just love medieval times.
I just like medieval times. Yeah. I'm into medieval times. I'm into big smoked turkey wings. I love.
Yeah, you can eat with your hands.
I love women that like cover their bodies all the way to their ankles, but then leave their boobs out. And then there's a joust, and I like that it's called jousting. I think that there's an opportunity to be on a horse at some point.
I think this is a fact that's often overlooked at medieval times, is the falcon that they send around the stadium in the beginning. That's always really cool.
I've never done it.
I've been to Renaissance fairs.
Going to Renaissance fairs with those like flowered crowns and the smoked turkey legs, which apparently I had before I was in San Diego last week at the county fair.
I saw you eating one.
Yeah, and it was amazing. And I called my mom and I was like, why have I never had one of those? And she was like, you had one every year at the Renaissance fair.
You're like, part of your childhood you blocked out. You're familiar with that.
And I have zero memories. Zero memories of the Renaissance fair because I totally blocked it all out.
Amazing.
Wow, guys.
We went pretty deep.
Yeah. That was good.
That's some great deep cuts there.
That's a good game.
Let's take a step out for a second.
A little breather.
And when we come back, we'll maybe talk about food or something.
Yes.
No more jousting. No more jousting.
You're listening to Shift Drink. I'm Matthew Ramsey.
I'm Eddie Kim.
And we're here with Brooke Williamson and Antonio LaFaso.
Man, if you don't know what ghetto style means by now, I guess we just gonna have to break it down for you. Rock the beat. Rock the beat.
Hey, welcome back to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio, recording out of the Line Hotel.
Bringing it back with some sweet beats.
Yeah, yeah. We are here with Brooke and Antonia.
Yes.
Yeah.
What up? Sorry.
I want a playlist of your intro music.
Right?
So I think, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an option.
Yeah, I think it's available somewhere.
He's like, it's available for $12.99 when you leave the studio.
You guys,
Shift Drink's greatest hits.
Follow me on SoundCloud. So and yeah. I guess we'll bring it in. Let's talk about some food. You both have opened up many, many, many restaurants in the Los Angeles area. I called you both Los Angelinos, and I wasn't even sure if I should use that term. Like, do you consider yourself to be Los Angelinos? Since you're kind of all over the place. Your restaurants are in Playa del Rey,
which is in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Yeah. No. Okay. I 100% identify as an Angelino.
Were you saying it like, were we born there? You were born there.
I was
Brooke?
Born there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was not born there.
Okay.
Yeah. No. I was born in New York, but I moved when I was 11, and I've been back and forth. I think when I first my parents moved me from New York, I kicked and screamed and was like, I can't wait to go back to New York. I don't live here. I'm not from California. I'm not that person with blonde hair and captain of the tennis team.
It's cool. It's cool. Keep going. Yeah.
Went to Crossroads. No,
wow. Keep going.
I love you. No, and then when I left to go to culinary school and came back and haven't left since. I love California. I love Los Angeles. It's my home.
Well, I feel like you kind of get the best of both worlds. You get to say you're from New York, but also enjoy the beaches of the West Coast.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You live in Playa. I live in Venice. Well, we legitimately get to enjoy the beaches. We both live by the water, which is, I think, a blessing in itself. I can't imagine living anywhere else in LA.
Yeah. I have a restaurant across the street from the ocean.
Yeah.
And
this
I forget
Playa it's Provisions.
And Playa Provisions is literally, you can see the water from my patio and I forget it's there sometimes.
Yeah.
And then, like, need to step outside and breathe for a minute and realize where I am. And
yeah, that we live, like, in one of the best cities in the country.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But it is great having... I always think my daughter's in Boston now for college. So I think there's, like, this duality, East Coast, West Coast, to people's personalities, their work ethic, the way they view the world. You know, it's nice to kind of be out of...
Oh, for sure. I mean, growing up in the culinary world from a very young age, I started cooking And I always felt like to be a legitimate chef, I had to at least spend some time in New York. So I did, because I felt like it legitimized who I was as a chef.
I mean, I've talked to chefs and they've said incendiary things, like kind of between East Coast and West Coast. Do you see a major difference between how the chefs
not anymore.
And cooks work?
Not
anymore.
But I think
maybe
20 years ago it was very different.
Yeah, I think here's the thing. Every state, every city has its own vibe. It has its own direction of food, and I think Los Angeles for a long time didn't have an identity of like kind of what we brought to the rest of the country. And now I think, like Brooke said, over the last 20 years we've seen a shift in the dynamic of food. I remember the first time I ate at ABC Kitchen in New York when it opened, like Jean Georges, like very sort of casual, fresh environment food, blah blah blah, and it was fantastic. And they were like, oh, heirloom tomatoes with a little bit of sea salt and olive oil. I was like, California. I remember the first time I went back to New York, probably after like, it was probably like 6 years ago. And my manager at the time was like, oh, we've got to go to this new place. It just opened. Have you ever had avocado toast? And I was like, get the fuck out of here. Congratulations, New York. You just found out about avocado toast. Been making it since 1883.
DC just found out about it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys did?
Oh, we just discovered.
What?
Congratulations.
For real?
A couple years ago, but yeah.
Like,
but definitely late
it's
in the
a thing
game.
Now.
Guys, you're welcome.
Yeah,
that came
exactly.
From
Well, we might have a shortage of avocados soon.
Yes.
So.
Too soon.
We'll see how far that goes.
Can I ask about Michelin and what your feelings on it coming back to the area?
Oh, to LA? Yeah. I mean, I haven't really thought about it. I know that a lot of our food writers in our area are up in arms. They're like setting the city on fire because Michelin was in our city. There's been, I think, mixed reviews. I think one writer said this, I think it was like Grubhub, and don't quote me because I'm usually wrong about the specifics, but the general idea is pretty on point. It's always like the actual real part of it is wrong. I liked what they said, and it had to do with the fact that I think we believe that a lot of food writing right now is untrustworthy. You know what I mean? I think we have like a general sort of distrust to...
For journalism in
food. I mean, probably journalism in general at this point, but like, but it, specifically just talking about food. We see a lot of disconnect between what people generally love and have these great sustainable businesses and what they praise. Usually tend to be two totally different things. I don't know if you.
Why do you think that is?
I think there's people who generally cook for the public that know what the public want, and they know what they want 7 days a week and how to do that. And then there's interesting people who are kind of knocking it out of the park and creating a new genre of food, which, and both are equally as important.
Sure.
But I think sometimes, you know, the people who are just genuinely like trying to do like good by the people, you know what I mean, kind of get left by the wayside a little bit.
Right. Which is maybe who we are a little
bit. Which is exactly who I am. And that's, like yesterday when Hugh was like, oh, are you coming to Aspen? I was like, I don't get invited to those things.
I said to him, I was like, yeah. Oh, remember that time I saw you in Aspen? That was the only time I went.
Yeah,
I don't
get invited to those groups because, you know.
I completely 100% agree. I think there's a lot of politics behind Michelin. But I think in general, it's funny, I just did Hugh Atchison's podcast a couple weeks ago when he was in LA, and he said that from his point of view, there are chefs who cook for the public and there are chefs who cook for themselves. And both are very valuable to the culinary sort of society, but I think there's a definite disconnect between... accolades and public
opinion.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, that being said, Dama just made Michelin Guide, which only 9% of restaurants did.
Yeah.
Awesome. So
I didn't know.
I actually didn't know it happened either. So they sent it to me. I was like, thanks. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't necessarily feel, I mean, that being said, I always have like two opinions to it where it's like the Los Angeles Times comes in to review us and I'm like, I don't care what anybody says. I know what I'm doing. And I have like this full meltdown and, you know, all the people that work with me are like,
but then you don't sleep for a week.
Then I don't sleep for a week and I'm like throwing up in the shower and I'm like, oh my God, everything that I love is going to close and burn on fire. And so I have no middle ground. It's either like, you know, super, super high or super, super low. So I don't know. I tried not to get so upset about it or pay too much attention to it, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I stopped reading reviews in general many years ago, specifically because of Yelp, but,
I think is maybe, you know, sunsetting a little bit.
I look at it, I'd like to genuinely see what people think and then extract from it, which like the crazy and just the ego and be like, oh, maybe they have something.
I mean,
there. Like, did I screw this up?
Validity.
Is this not connecting? Yeah,
there's some validity to when you read the same thing a couple of times.
Exactly.
You need to like sort of reassess what's going on in your own restaurant. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But there is this.
If people keep talking about a shitty cucumber salad, you're like, okay, at some point I got to look at the salad.
I have to appreciate that maybe it's shitty.
Right.
But I don't know. At the same time, I feel like there's this like level of... what's it called when people can't see you?
A sheet, a cloak,
ghosting.
All of my
sunglasses.
Vocabulary is gone.
I was like, sunglasses.
No, you know, like where people hide behind
anonymity.
Thank you.
Oh. Anonymity. I was like an imaginary blanket.
I was like anonymousness. There is something to the anonymity that that people feel like empowers them to say whatever they want. And it's kind of the same reason I don't go on Facebook anymore. I do love Instagram because I do find that it's a creative platform.
She loves Instagram and people
when they don't know.
Hey, thank
you. If you guys want to see what I'm up to, go to @ChefBrookeW. I'm just saying.
Damn, girl. Plug away.
But there is like a level of creativity. And I feel like on Instagram, people follow you because they genuinely are interested in what you're up to and what you're doing.
It's storytelling, right?
Whereas I think that there are other platforms like Facebook where, and Yelp, for example, where people just feel like they can bitch out loud about everything that bothers them. and have no respect for what it does to other people.
When Kristen Kish was on, she was talking about how she, like, every morning is like her first thing she does is like,
yeah, I do that too.
Read her Yelp reviews and like kind of go through stuff. And
I just feel like
it's an unfortunate side of this business.
But it adds again, too much negativity.
It does, but then at the same, I mean, listen, you have to have tough skin to do kind of anything larger than life in the world, right? You know that. So your skin is as tough as it gets. There's also like a ton of like self-reflection that comes with it that I think is positive. Being able to get that much direct feedback all the time, like, was the valet doing his job? Was the server doing their job? Like, looking at from those kinds of lenses and only to get better. But then it is, yes, a platform where people are just like, my dog, you know.
I don't know. I wish I had a bigger dog. Every one person that has a great experience, there are 12 people who want to write about.
I feel like you rarely write about.
Should we pull Brooke's Yelp up? I feel like
we did that with Kristen.
Do you need me to pull you?
But it's honestly about.
I can write a Yelp review for you.
It's about having a good experience doesn't.
We have
doesn't prompt people to write reviews more often than it prompts people to write reviews when they have a bad experience.
Right, and the negative stuff always, like, in the scale of things, always weighs heavier than the actual good experiences. Yeah. For
in my own head, at least.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm hard on myself. I just feel
really?
I know you can drive yourself crazy reading all the Yelp reviews, owning and operating one restaurant. What about the fact that you both own multiple restaurants?
I don't know. She owns more than I do. You get that question. You're busier than I am.
That's why I don't read Yelp. Who's got time for that?
That's why we don't see each other in LA. We're just friends outside of Los Angeles.
Just hang out for three very solid days.
You know what? Having multiple restaurants and reading Yelp, it just takes more time in the morning to get dressed. Okay? We're not just Googling one restaurant. We've got to Google Yelp three times.
And what if your hair
needs to look
good?
I don't have the app. And what if you need
Alexa, read all my Yelp reviews.
Yeah, there we go. That's definitely
Does she do that?
I think she can.
Can she?
I'm gonna try it when I get home.
Alexa, play Dama Yelp.
I'm sorry, I cannot respond to that right now.
Here's what I found for Dama Yelp.
But we want to make sure
play that station.
We get you too often Jet Setters.
We're gonna go upstairs and eat. We're gonna go upstairs and eat.
We're gonna have lunch.
Mm-hmm. We do have one quick little game that we're gonna play. We call Rapid Fire.
I really like.
Oh, I like Rapid Quick.
Rapid Fire.
Now, that was Eddie's voice there.
Is this like you're going to ask a question and I have to go, a little quick answer?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, got
I'm
it.
Really sort bad of. At this. Really terrible.
I want you to know that I do have a slight form of Tourette's, and that we're just not sure what will come out.
Oh, wow.
Full disclosure.
I will say I have a really hard time making decisions.
Yeah. So. as she picks her hair at her, as she twirls her hair.
Just say tequila, exclamation. What was the last food you microwaved?
A cake.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is that like a spoon cake kind of situation?
It was in competition and I microwaved a cake with SpaghettiOs in it. I had to use them. If you think about it, what is SpaghettiOs made out of? Wheat.
Oh, you made a SpaghettiOs cake.
I made a cake and I had to use SpaghettiOs. So I whipped the SpaghettiOs into the cake batter and made a cake batter with SpaghettiOs. It was delicious.
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Sorry.
Is that Chef Boyardee?
I was giving you some time.
Thanks. I don't use my microwave very often. It's in my laundry room.
Do you microwave your socks?
I was just going to say your underwear. She's like, I need those dry quick.
No. I don't know. I kind of only use it for like popcorn.
Just say
and
tequila.
Chocolate.
Just say tequila.
So
tequila, great.
Tequila.
Popcorn or chocolate.
The new bartending.
Popcorn. It was either popcorn or chocolate. That's kind of what I use my microwave.
I feel like that's a great name for a cookbook.
Yeah. Tequila.
Popcorn and chocolate.
Let's say current celebrity chef crushes.
I'll go first. it has to be a celebrity chef?
Or just a chef.
Any chef.
Chef crush.
A chef crush. I'm going to go with Brooke Williams.
I was going to go with you.
That's no. Island first.
No.
You're like, ugh, this is gross.
So I'll go with Kristen Kish.
All right, that's it. That's the end of the podcast, guys. That's it.
Why? Why can't we love women? I mean, I do love women, but this is why I'm not married. Just because we don't, because this is quote like unquote, all the time.
Love women doesn't mean we can't love
I don't
women.
Love polyamorous. Am I polyamorous? No.
DC just celebrated Pride.
So. No, I mean, I just celebrated Pride too. I had a nice Pride jacket on, and that's why I don't have a boyfriend.
That
the other day I came out with my jacket, and Brooke was like, I'm glad that you're supporting everyone, but this is why you don't have a man in your life. Because everyone now thinks like, that you're not into men. You see the problem.
So. It's fluid. It's fluid.
Yeah.
It said not into men on the back of it?
No, it didn't. It just okay. Because I, people were assuming that I was wearing a Pride shirt that I was like gay. And I was like, no, I'm just supporting, guys. Damn.
Was that on purpose?
An ally.
Or did yes, it was on purpose. I had my Pride jacket on for all week. I was celebrating Pride all week.
I was calling it a Pride jacket just out of nowhere. I didn't realize that was actually your Pride jacket.
I mean, it just happened to me. I like the jacket and just happened to have a rainbow on it. So I was like, oh, perfect.
I like rainbows.
You must have one more, right? We're not done yet.
Yeah, we got one more.
We have a lot, but we don't have to go through all of them. When was the last time you were mischievous?
What? Get out of my head. Stop it.
I told you, that's a couch.
Why are you staring at my eyes like that? Like you're in my brain.
Honestly, that's just how he stares.
Last time I was mischievous. This morning.
What happened this morning?
I don't need to talk about it. It was a rapid, quick-fire answer.
Fair enough.
I was mischievous over WhatsApp. If you need to know.
Oh.
Okay?
All right.
You know what I love about that? In unison. Like, what does that even mean?
I ordered something online yesterday.
Oh.
That was
attractive.
But you know what? It's like
revealing?
A Father's Day gift for my husband.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So again,
he's not going to listen to this.
No spoilers.
He's not going
to
listen to this.
Oh, what's forwarded onto him?
It was the bicycle balls.
Oh my God, you bought bicycle balls?
I bought bicycle balls.
What are, wait.
Yeah. Well, my
Google
husband's
it.
A cyclist.
Truck balls.
Google it.
And they're like these glow in the dark. Yep. I think they actually have lights in them.
Yeah. They look like a heart upside down. It's a ball
that
sack.
You hang on the back of your bicycle.
No, that's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a ball light. It's a bike light.
It's a ball light. It is a ball light.
Wow.
It's a
ball light.
And if you want
does that fall fetus. Under just mischievous?
Elizabeth, if you're listening, yeah.
You're like Christmas.
Get out of my head.
My moped needs some
ball lights.
Big swinging testes.
It's
I learned about them while we were at lunch yesterday. I think Chris Cosentino brought it up.
All the things that we learned this week. There's Mr. Billy Harris.
Oh, he's having lunch with us.
Well, thank you so much, you two. It's been really fun having you on.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Okay. Bye. It's been a lot of fun on our end, too.
We're gonna leave it at testicles. Hanging off
the bike. A good place to stop.
For all of our listeners, you can revisit this week's episode or previous episodes on iTunes or wherever the fuck you grab your podcasts, including Spotify.
I like it.
Follow us at ShiftDrinkDC. Follow Brooke at...
See all of her voice.
Surety did it.
At Chef Brooke W. Brooke is with an E.
See some medieval jousting at Chef
Antonio.
That's an Instagram account waiting to happen.
My medieval jousting?
Yeah.
We all have Chef at the beginning of our Instagram.
I mean, handle. It just helps.
So funny.
Don't forget to throw us one review on iTunes or a one-star on Yelp. We only accept one stars.
Only one stars.
We only read one stars.
We have I think, four one-star reviews now.
So. You really do check in the morning.
Wow. I check it. It's my thing. And a special thank you to Jeffrey Lamoureux for our intro music and Mr. DJ Rec Tech for the hilarious sound effects.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Have a nice trip back to L.A.
Thanks. You.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts, covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.